the nice weather comes out, and I get excited. I love the outdoors, and I love going outside in the summertime because more people are outside.
Yeah.
And because more people are outside, there's more victims to hear the gospel.
Victims.
More people for who need Jesus out in the open and under my radar. And I just love talking to people about Jesus because he's changed my life. And I think in this day and age, everybody needs an encounter with Jesus or else it's bad times ahead if it hasn't happened already. But I do know that the Church of Jesus Christ has been called to be witnesses for Christ. Mm. Witness not only to the good news, which includes healings and signs and wonders.
Yeah.
We have a powerful God who lives on the inside of us. Mm-hmm. Amen. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I think the church forgets that. We think we've got to do everything in our own flesh, and if we don't see the results, we stop. And I'm just going to share my heart with you today. When we planted Freedom House many years ago, it was it's called Freedom House Church and Healing Center.
Yeah.
And we've seen lots and lots of incredible stuff happen. And I don't know why, but either the church has become complacent, and it's amazing how many churches don't believe the full gospel, but there's only one gospel. It's actually not the gospel of salvation. If you read your Bible, it doesn't say gospel of salvation. It says gospel of the kingdom. Mm. Oh, so the kingdom always comes with power.
Yes.
Okay. Yes, Jesus saves. That's first and foremost. We need to be saved from our sins. But also, it's the kingdom of God advances with power, and the many scriptures, you know, Ephesians 3:20, greater is he that's in us and he that's in the world, and the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. And I wonder if we actually believe that. And if we believe it, do we actually walk in it? And so that's my theme this morning, as God has been speaking to me all week, and it seems over and over again. It's just, you know, when you prepare for a sermon, you're saying, God, what do you want to say to the people? And it's just like one thing after another. Remind them who they are. Remind them who they are. And I've been, you know, preaching on faith since the beginning of the year, and it's going to be another sermon on faith, and it's going to be pretty similar to what you've heard already, but I guess we need to hear it more often. I'm going to start with a very familiar story, the story of David and Goliath. You know that story?
We do.
More than just a little Sunday school story. It's about a man of God who was filled with the Spirit of God, who accomplish great things in the power of God. And so if you would turn there, 1 Samuel 17. Let me pray first. Father, not my words, but thy word.
Yeah.
May you speak to our hearts and our minds so that we might be obedient to what you want to say to us and how you want the church to live in this day and age. We ask it for your glory, that Christ might be lifted up. In his name, amen. David and Goliath. I'm just going to go through. I've chosen some really powerful verses that I think we need to listen to. And then I'm going to apply it to the church from the New Testament. So verse 3. The Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, while Israel stood on the mountain on the other side with the valley between them. Then a champion came out from the armies of the Philistines. That's 1 Samuel 17, 3 and 4. Here's the picture. On the mountain is the Philistine army, and on the other side of the mountain is, on the other side of the valley is the Israelite army. And in the middle, there's this chasm, this valley, and they're at a standstill. Nobody's going anywhere. Just standing there, and they've been fighting a long time, and there's no advance, nobody's winning. And so what happens, as I understand it, reading Old Testament theology, is when two armies are at a standstill, they pick one guy from their team and send him out to the valley, and the other army picks out a guy from their team and sends them out, and they have an old-fashioned hand-to-hand combat. And whoever wins kind of wins the army, and everybody goes home. But or they end up like in this story, okay, we won. That's it. Now we attack, right? Because the motivation starts, and they get all geared up and excited that they just beat this. They won this victory, now they can go and win the big victory. And so you'll see here, I guess I'm not going to follow my notes, but In verse 16, the Philistine came forward morning and evening for 40 days and took his stand. So for 40 days, this Philistine, who is a champion, the word champion is really interesting. It means a man between two camps. That's what literally that word means, a man between two camps. Okay, and that's where we get the story from. So there are two camps, they're at a standstill, they're sitting there, nobody's advancing, they're just like yelling taunts at each other. And then the champion comes out and he comes down from the army, the hill, and he stands in the valley and he says, come and fight me. You know the story, Goliath is like 9 feet 9 inches tall. He's a monster, okay, he's a big dude. And when you look at the description of him in verses 4 to 7, his armor alone weighed 125 pounds.
Right.
He had shin guards on his legs and a javelin slung between his two shoulders, and on the shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and the head of his spear weighed 15 pounds. 15 pounds, okay? I have a sledgehammer at home that is 15 pound sledgehammer.
Yeah, that's heavy.
And it's like, I gotta pick it up like that. This guy is like one hand, I can throw the spear right over my head. I can't do that with my sledgehammer. He's a big dude. He's a big guy.
Yep.
And he's not used to losing. All right. So I want us to see that they're at a standstill. This is the army of God, okay? At a standstill, immobilized, not going anywhere, with an enemy in front of them, and they can't defeat him. And it says in verse 11, when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Okay, literally, the word dismayed is shattered, broken down, discouraged, like they were out. In verse 24, it says, when all the men of Israel saw the man, the champion Goliath, they fled from him and were greatly afraid. Okay, they're immobilized with fear. And I find a lot of times that's what happens to Christians. In a battle, we are immobilized with fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, amen? So why do we go there? I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's human nature, but guess what? The Bible says we have divine nature. Okay, we have God living on the inside of us. So here's the deal. If Goliath says, if I win, you serve me. If you win, then we serve you. Well, that's not who I'm. I'm not called to serve the enemy. Are we called to serve the enemy?
No.
We're called to serve God. Amen. And so, if the enemy's not defeated and he wins, then we end up serving the enemy. And I wonder how many times people do this because they just give in. Hopefully you can apply this to yourself. Like, I don't have to keep applying it. But so in comes, there's a story here. In comes David. He's young and full of faith. Okay? We need to hang around with young people who are full of faith.
Right.
Or B, old young people who are full of faith.
Yes. Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
We never lose what we had at the beginning. But somehow along the way, I don't know what it is, the closer we get to the rapture, the more we just put our feet up and wait for the rapture. That's not scriptural. We got to keep fighting till the very end.
Right.
And so I want to encourage you. Don't let your guard down. Stand firm. This is the message, right? Stand firm. Be alert. Be ready. So in comes David. He's full of faith. And for 40 days, these armies are sitting there. Nothing's happening. This young guy comes in. Who's what? A shepherd. He's literally a youth. He's a young guy. And he's a shepherd. Watch what he says. What's he used to doing? Let's go to verse 20. David arose early in the morning, left the flock with the keeper, took the supplies, and went. His dad had asked him, take food to your brothers. They're at the enemy lines, and, you know, they're probably hungry, so bring them food and bring enough for the whole, you know, platoon they're serving under. And he came to the circle of the camp while the army was going out in battle array, shouting the war cry. And Israel and the Philistines drew up in battle array, army against army. Then David left his baggage in the care of the baggage keeper, ran to the battle line. Okay, that's a cool picture. Young guy, yeah. My first battle.
Yeah.
I get to run. Get to be part of this. This is exciting. I don't know about you, but do you remember that? Remember that? Like, my wife will tell you, when I got saved, I got filled with the Spirit, and I was reading like what these guys were doing in the Bible. I can do this.
Yeah.
Right? I'm going downtown, I'm going to preach the gospel. Mm-hmm. Right on the street corner. And I'm going to preach the gospel. Yeah. And people are yelling at me or swearing at me. And they, yeah, praise God, I'm going to preach the gospel. And I'm like 35 years old. Maybe young, but young in the Lord. Mm-hmm. I got newfound faith, right? Mm-hmm. I'm excited. This is who I am in Christ. He left his bag as he went to the battle and entered in order to greet his brothers. And as he was talking with them, verse 23, behold, a champion, the Philistine from Gath, named Goliath, was coming up from the army of the Philistines and spoke these same words, and David heard them. When all the men of Israel saw the man, the champion, the big guy, they fled from him and were greatly afraid. Not David. Not David. This is great. The men say, have you seen this man who's coming up? Surely he's coming up to defy Israel. And it will be that the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. Wow, that caught David's attention. David spoke to the men who were standing by him, saying, what will be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised pagan Philistine that he should taunt the armies of the living God? That's a great line. Who is this guy? Like, people, church, you are the army of the living God. Okay? Yeah. And not a word from anybody. Mm-hmm. You're right. The army of the living God. Right. People, you are the army of the living God. Okay. Have we forgotten that? Have we forgotten that?
Yeah.
Okay? The same Jesus, the same Jesus,
right.
The same Spirit that lived in David lives in me.
Right.
Right? Let me just take you there. You need to highlight this. 1 Samuel 16:13. Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David. Mm-hmm. The Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. The Spirit of the Lord is on him. God is with him. God is on him. The same God from the Old Testament, the same God who came upon you, who lives in you. It's the same God.
Yeah.
So here's the question. If I have the same spirit as David, why am I not running into the enemy camp and facing the enemy? Right? Like I'm commanded to do. Resist the devil and he will flee. Right. Resist the devil. I cannot allow the enemy to gain a hold on me. Okay, I have to resist, I have to stand firm, I have to take my position, I have to put on the full armor of God, and I have to go against the enemy. That's who I am in Christ. Why? Because Christ drives me to the front lines to battle. Right? Yeah. I'm going all over the place, but Genesis 3:15 says that Satan will strike his heel, but he will crush his head. Right. Who's the he? The seed of the woman. It's Jesus who crushed Satan's head. He's already defeated. Friends, we have the living God inside of us.
Amen.
Who's already defeated the enemy.
Yeah.
Okay? It's going to get better, right? Trust me. If this isn't good enough, you're going to see that the Church of Jesus Christ is called to be fighters and warriors. That's why the whole armor of God is given to you. Okay? And I'm just afraid that we have sat back and said, oh, well, we'll just sit here and wait for Jesus to come back. That's not the stance that he wants us to take.
Yeah, right.
Okay? And Goliath, he's a blasphemer. He's taunting Israel. He's saying, you'll serve me. And I'm just like, wow. Can we have some more Davids in the congregation?
Please? Amen.
In the Church of Jesus Christ? Can we have some more Davids? Davids, can you be a man like this? You can be a man like this.
Absolutely.
You're right at that age, pal.
Yeah.
All right, let's keep going. Verse 26, David spoke to the men. What will be done? He's interested. Tell me what's going to happen if somebody defeats him. See, this is really cool, I think. He sees a battle in front of him and he wants to get involved. He's been looking after sheep. He's been doing a great job. He's been running back and forth from the army line and getting food and bringing it back and going to looking after the sheep. And his father sends him to, it's a divine appointment, right? This time you got to bring food to your brothers. Great. He goes and he sees that there's a standstill and something inside of him, the Spirit of God inside of him says, you got to get involved. And he says, people answer him with these words, saying, "Thus it will be done for the man of Chisholm." Eliab, verse 28, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. And Eliab's anger burned against David, and he said, right. "Why have you come down, and with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your arrogance and the wickedness of your heart, for you have come down in order to see the battle. You're just a bystander. You just want to see what's going on." Friends, I got to tell you something. Every time the Spirit of God stirs you to do something, there's going to be a voice that says, "Who do you think you are?"
True.
Opposition.
Yeah. Opposition. True. It's in the New Testament. It's in the book of Acts. It's all over the place. Every time a person of God who gets filled with the Spirit of God wants to accomplish something great for God, there's a voice, usually from the church, okay? They're his brothers. They're close to him. They're family members, the family of God. God doesn't do that. Who do you think you are? God doesn't do that anymore. That's the Old Testament. That's one man. That's not for us today. Have you heard that? I heard it. I left the church because of it. David said, "What have I done now? What is this? Just a question?" Verse 30, he turned away from him another and said the same thing, and people answered the same thing as before. When the words David spoke were heard, they told them to Saul, and he sent for him. David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail on account of him. Your servants will go and fight with the Philistine." I'm going to go. Right? I'm watching this 40 days, and you guys aren't doing anything. Just back and forth and taunting, and nothing's happening. No advance. I'm going to go. And we need that zeal, friends. We need that zeal to go and defeat the enemy. I don't know where this is landing, but it sounds like it's just hitting the floor. But Lord Jesus, I just pray you hit it in our hearts. Saul said to David, "You're not able." There's another excuse. "Go against this Philistine to fight. You're just a young guy. You're just a youth." Right? So what's his defense? Listen. "You don't know me very well, do you? Here's proof. Your servant," verse 34, "was tending his father's sheep when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock. I went out after him and attacked him and rescued it from his mouth. When he rose up against me, I seized him by his beard and struck him and killed him." How close to a lion do you have to get to grab the beard of a lion? You have to put your hand right at his face.
Right.
Okay? That's called bravery. Or stupidity. You decide. But he's not afraid of the lion. Okay?
Yeah.
A lion is just, "Hey, that's my sheep. That's my dad's sheep, and you're not taking it." Right? There's a resolve.
Right.
No way. Your enemy roars around like a lion.
Yeah.
Okay? Seeking whom he will devour. He loves to devour Christians and get them out of commission, bite on them and put them out and inflict an injury so they're useless for the kingdom. That's what the enemy loves to do. Okay? But that's not who we are. If David in the Old Testament can do this, how much more can we, with the living God,
right,
living inside of us, this side of the cross, this side of the resurrection, defeat the enemy?
Amen.
Literally says, if you resist him, he will flee.
Right.
Are you with me?
Yes.
Are you getting the picture? So he defends his case. "I killed the lion, I killed the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them." Now this is a great thing. Out of his mouth, verse 36, "I'm going to confess what's going to take place to this guy." See, this is faith, people. Not only am I believing that I can do it, I'm going to speak it out before it even happens, okay? Are you with me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is confident. If you can't confess it, you don't believe it. If you can't confess that you're not going to do it, then you don't believe it enough to do it.
Yeah.
Watch what he says, verse 37. "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine."
Amen.
Okay? That's faith. That's faith. Do you have that kind of faith?
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I heard two voices.
Faith to believe God for the impossible.
Amen.
Then it gets really good. Because you know the story. Saul wants to give him his armor, but his armor is way too big for David. So he just goes with what he's familiar with. He doesn't want the sword to kill David, or the Goliath. He doesn't want the sword to kill Goliath.
Right.
He wants God to direct that stone into Goliath's forehead. Okay? He wants God to get the glory. And so in verses 42 was where it really starts. And we get this amazing text. Verse 44 and 47, you need to highlight this. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him. You're just a youth, a red-headed, handsome little kid. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come into me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Well, that was just enough motivation to get David out there. And David said to the Philistine, you come to me with sword, a spear, a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you taunted. This day the Lord will deliver you up into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head. And I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hands. See, friends, that's the attitude a follower of Jesus needs to have. Right there. Okay? I can do anything with God. With God, all things are possible.
There's such a determination.
Absolutely. He absolutely knows who he is, and he absolutely knows who he is in God. Just the same as us, okay? We need to know who we are in Christ.
Amen. Yeah.
And who lives on the inside of us. This is so incredible. I just want us to get, I want the church, I'm zealous for the church to be the church.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Anyway, you know the story. David wins. And he's decapitated. Just like Jesus, he cuts the enemy off at the head. When your head's cut off, you're done. You're not coming back. Okay, that's the picture. He totally took care of business. Their champion was dead. And the enemy head is cut off. I love it. I love it. It's like this guy's not going to bother us anymore.
Yeah.
Okay. I really believe when the enemy knows who you are and you're standing in your authority in Christ, that he will leave you alone. Okay. And if we get up every morning and stand in the full armor of God, standing in the power of his might, his might, not my might. I can't do anything without God.
Right.
It's his might.
Right.
And so this is just an amazing picture of what I believe the church should be like. We know our God. We're fearless when the enemy comes. We're not going to let the enemy stand, cause us to stand still. We're not going to let people criticize us and accuse us of this, that, and the other thing, cause us arrogant and proud. And I want to take you to the New Testament. And I want to show you what the church is supposed to be like, okay? I just ask you, how much more after the cross and after the resurrection, because Jesus is alive and conquered death and sin and lives on the inside of us, should we, the Church of Jesus Christ, be out there defeating giants? Okay, whatever the giant is. Let's go to Luke 9. I mean, I'm going to take you through these real quick. I'll read some of them. I'll take you through some of them. Luke 9. Lord, stir up our faith. Jesus called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all the demons. Luke 9, 1 and 2. Right at the beginning. These are the 12 disciples. Gave them power and authority over all the demons to heal diseases, and he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to perform healing. Okay, that's the 12. Oh, well, that's only for the apostles. Go to chapter 10. Verse 1 and 2. You think it's only for the apostles? Yeah, after this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them two ahead of him to every city and place when he himself was going to come. Then he was saying to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. It's going to be brutal. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're little sheep. There's going to be lots of big, ugly wolves out there and giants, and you're going to face them. But I don't want you to take anything. No purse, no bag, no shoes, and greet no one on the way. Whatever your house you enter first, say, peace be to this house. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. If not, it will return to you. And stay in the house. He wants us to go out, okay, go into all the world and preach the good news. That's his message. Don't rely on anything. Don't take anything. I don't want you to ever give glory to something you took.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be the one who gets the glory. I want to be the one who gets the glory as I live through you. Okay, verse 9. heal those in it who are sick and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you. That's it. Go out and defeat the enemy. Why did Jesus heal and set free and deliver? Because the enemy was causing a heyday on the people. And this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the gospel of the kingdom. It's a gospel of power. It's a gospel that goes and pushes back the darkness. Okay? I got a whole bunch of verses in Matthew 11:12. The kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it like force. You have to have this attitude. There's an enemy, and look what he's doing to all these poor people. He's keeping them in darkness. They're in bondage. They're in sickness and death, and they're just ugly out there. And Jesus is moved with compassion and love, and he goes out, and he starts healing and pushing back the darkness, and he says to his church, do the same. Mm-hmm. 1 Peter 5:8, your adversary prowls around like a roaring lion, right, looking for someone to devour. Resist. Stand firm in the faith. Okay, that's the attitude. Stand firm. Believe. What is stand firm in the faith? It's believe what you're supposed to believe. What the Bible teaches. Matthew 17:20. Faith. What kind of faith? Mountain moving faith. Nothing shall be impossible for you if you have this kind of faith. Okay? I'll just take you to Matthew 21:22, which is very similar to Matthew 17:20. Friends, I could spend 3 hours up here taking you through hundreds of scriptures, all the same thing. Matthew 21:21-22, where Jesus answered and said to them, truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you shall not only do what was done to this fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, it shall happen. And all things you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Okay? Believe.
Yep.
How do you know you're believing? Because you're confessing what it is that God's going to do.
Yeah.
Okay? And listen, I'm not one of these guys, okay? Name it and claim it, guys. That's not who I am. I'm just reading my Bible and saying these guys look totally different 2,000 years ago than they do now.
Yeah.
They're walking in the power of Christ, the risen Christ. God is in them. So this is the testimony of the early church. This is what we see. If we go to Mark 16, this is how Mark closes his gospel. You know it very well. And what the enemies try to do is say, oh, these are not original. We've got to remove this from the text. And some of that, you probably have a note there. It says that very thing. It just doesn't belong in the gospel. It's in my Bible. Mark 16:15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who have believed. Does it say only the apostles of the first century? It doesn't say that. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will pick up serpents. If they drink any deadly poison, it shall not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. This is gospel preaching.
Right.
God confirms his word. Let's keep reading. So then when the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven, sat down at the right hand of God, and they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word by signs that followed.
That's it.
Okay? Do you see what comes first? The word always comes first.
Yes, yes.
The word. What did David do? He confessed the word. This is God. You're messing with God's people. This is God's army.
Yeah.
Do you know you can't say that about God?
Yeah.
Do you know who we are? We're the chosen. We're the empowered. There's no way I'm going to let you do that. Okay? And we need to stand up, church. We need to stand up and walk in who we are. My God can do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or think. What? According to the power that is at work within me.
Right.
Powerful church. Jesus proclaimed a powerful church. You believe, this is what you're going to do. Am I doing that? Am I doing that?
Right.
Am I doing that? So here's the deal. It's summer. We're going to start going out in the streets and we're going to pray for people.
Right.
I'm not even going to pray. I'm going to proclaim exactly what the word says. I'm going to declare the kingdom of God is here. Jesus Christ was crucified for your sins. He died. He rose again on the third day. He ascended in heaven. And he left power to the church. Mm-hmm. The same thing that he did here, he wants us to do.
Amen. Right.
In John 17:21, I think. As the Father has sent me, so I send you.
Good.
In John 14, 12, greater things you will do when I go to my Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Okay? Friends, this is just what he said. I don't know about you, but when I read those verses, I get convicted. Because that's what the church should look like. Powerful church. So we go to the book of Acts.
Yeah.
Let me show you something real cool. Acts chapter 4. Hey, Jesus said, go into the world, preach the gospel, do these incredible signs. I hope this is going to come together for you at some point. Watch the prayer of those praying in Acts chapter 4, verse 29. Now, Lord, take note of their threats. Okay, there's opposition. They're going to say, we defy you to speak the name of Jesus again. Look what you did. You caused a chaos by healing this person. Not my problem, your problem.
Yeah.
Now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that thy bondservants may speak thy word with all confidence, while thou dost extend thy hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place through the name of thy holy servant Jesus. Church is not going to pack it in just because people were opposed. Just because they got thrown in jail authorities were, you know, upset that they had caused such a ruckus in the city of Jerusalem. No, they're not, they don't care. God, send more power. Mm-hmm. Do more miracles.
Give us more boldness.
More boldness.
Right, right.
Why? The holy servant Jesus. It's we want him to work through us so he's glorified, okay?
Yes.
It's about God getting the glory. It's never about us getting the glory.
Yep.
Look at Romans. I could take you Acts 14:3. Let's do Acts 14:3. I want to show you something else. Because I read the last section of the Gospel of Mark. And I want to show you Acts 14:3. The Jews of disbelief stirred up the minds of the Gentiles and embittered them against the brethren. See, there's opposition. The Jews just giving the church a hard time. But they spent a long time there speaking boldly with reliance upon the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of his grace, granting that signs and wonders be done with their hands.
Mm-hmm.
Pray with me.
Amen.
Yep.
He confirmed the word with signs and wonders. 17 times in the book of Acts. They're doing signs and wonders, and the signs and wonders lead to people getting saved. Why? Because they see that what comes out of your mouth is not just words, it's true. God confirms the word that you preach, and people go, wow, he's real. He's real. Your God is real. I need to put my faith in God. I need to believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. And friends, that's why the gifts are given. Okay? 1 Corinthians 12, you know this. Let's stop by Romans 15 first, because I want to keep things in order for you. Romans 15, verses 18 and 19. This is Paul, verse 18 of Romans 15. I will not presume to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me, resulting in the obedience of the Gentiles by word and deed, in the power of signs and wonders, in the power of the Spirit, so that from Jerusalem and round about as far as Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Okay? With signs and wonders. He's preaching and he's demonstrating. Paul said, I don't come to you with fancy preaching and fancy words. I come to you with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. That's 1 Corinthians, okay? I can go on and on and on. We have power. We have authority. I'm going to take you to one last scripture. Where is it? Let's go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 5. I'm trying to do them in order so you don't get all bent out of shape. While you're turning there, remember 1 Corinthians 12 where the Spirit has given gifts to the church, and in there is signs and wonders, miraculous healings, and all kinds of things. It's the gifts of the church by the power of the Spirit given to the church to demonstrate the gospel of Jesus Christ, that the world might know that this God who came down to earth, died on a cross, and rose again, is ascended on high, and lives forever, ruling and reigning. over his people, over his church, and he's working through his church. Galatians 3:5, does he then, who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you, do by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? I only show you this to say this. In the early church, in the book of Galatians, okay, a pagan city with pagan worshipers who got saved, God is moving amongst that church and doing signs and wonders, and it's part of their regular church activity. Provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you. How does he do that? By faith. Do you believe that? Listen, we have this whole teaching out there in Christendom that this stuff was only for the first century church. And maybe you've heard it. You know, I can name a whole bunch of denominations that believe that, and they won't budge on that as long as grass is green. So. But here's the truth. When I read my Bible, it's all over the place.
Yeah.
This is what the church should look like. And this is why God raised us up in this city. To be that testimony that the gospel that he preached 2,000 years ago is the same gospel today. And there's other churches that do the same thing. Mm-hmm. And we partner with those churches. Mm-hmm. But we're far and few between.
Right.
Okay? Let me just sum this up. I've proven to you that when the Spirit of God comes on a person, they are empowered to demonstrate God to the world.
Yes.
With signs and wonders and power. What David did, you can do.
Right.
Whatever your giant is, okay? Faith is a gift from the Holy Spirit. If you don't have faith to believe this, you need to ask God to open your heart and remove that false teaching you've heard, whatever it is, that has stopped you from believing in the power of God for today. Okay? My God is able to do immeasurably more than I could ever ask or imagine. He's the God of the impossible. With God, all things are possible. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
You believe that?
Yeah.
Okay? That's who God is. My God is different than the Muslim God and every other false God on this planet. Because my God is real, and he does what he says he's going to do.
Right.
He never lies. He's always truthful. He always does what he says he's going to do. When the word leaves his mouth, it's going to accomplish what he sent it out to do. That's scripture. Okay? It's not because I have faith, but because of who my faith is in.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay? Do I trust God? One David changed the outcome of the whole battle. One David stepped in the middle and changed the whole battle. What happened after he did that, after he defeated Goliath, it fired up the people of God, and they rushed down and they attacked the Philistines and destroyed a whack of them and sent the rest fleeing. Okay? Friends, that's a picture of the church.
Yeah.
If one person stands up and takes down a giant, what if many David stood up? Let's just say in this room, all of us stood up and went out there and defeated the giants in our life with faith and belief in the power of God that lives in us. How many more Davids? If you read this chapter in 1 Samuel 17, it says very clearly, he didn't do it by sword. Okay? He took what was familiar to him. 5 smooth stones and his slingshot. Now, he didn't use a sword. We don't fight with carnal weapons.
Right.
Right? What do we fight with? According to Ephesians 6, our sword is the sword of the Spirit, which is the
Word
of God. Amen. How do you fight with the Word of God? You do what David did. You confess it. You believe it. You declare it. And you say very boldly and firmly, Satan, this is what it says, just like Jesus did. It is written, and thus you shall not cross this line, because my God said no. Okay? Sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith. The two go hand in hand. Okay, you can't have the sword of the Spirit without the shield of faith. Because you can't release the word and declare it out unless you believe what it says. Mm-hmm. And you believe the God behind the word. Because it ain't you doing it. It's him does it through you.
Mm-hmm.
And really, I don't understand that whole thing, because God is sovereign. He can do what he wants. But ultimately, he wants the church to be the church.
Yeah.
And I've taken you through and I've showed you that. He wants one David. There were thousands of warriors living in fear. I'm tired of the church living in fear. I'm tired of the church being on its hind legs and just like, That's not who we are.
Right.
Right? We need to stand up and say enough is enough. Whatever it is, abortion, gay rights, you name it. We need to stand up. And the more that do, and I said last time we were together, there's a bill on the table right now to take away charitable status and to cause all of the assets to be counted by the church and to pay tax on those assets. Listen, the church needs to stand up.
Yeah.
And say, you know what we're doing this side? You know all the stuff that happens because of the church?
Yeah.
All the social praying, people getting saved and delivered and set free, and all the programs that we're offering, and you know, after daycare, after school daycare, and there's so much the church is doing. You want to take all that away because we don't believe in abortion?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Church, rise up. Mm-hmm. I said this before. Jesus said, when I return, will I find faith on the earth? Will there be faith on earth? You have to ask yourself that. I heard somebody say this week, as I was listening to someone, he said, you know, if you read the book of Revelation, one of the things of the Antichrist will be false signs and wonders.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, wow. Counterfeit signs and wonders.
Yeah.
He's going to do, listen, the Egyptian magicians did it.
Right.
You know, the sorcerers in the New Testament tried to do it. People tried to buy it, but we have it. We don't have to buy it. But we need to walk in it. We need to walk in the power that God has given us. And we need to prove real signs and wonders to counter the false signs and wonders that Satan's going to do. Okay? Now, if you believe you're gone, that's great. Don't worry about it. But I believe it's even happening now.
Right.
Okay? Satan's already producing false signs and wonders, and people are like, that's from the devil. We need to be the church. There's never been a time in history where we need to be the church like there is right now.
Okay? Good.
And we just got to trust God that He's going to do the impossible through us. It's still the same message.
Yeah.
Gospel of the kingdom.
Yep.
How are we going to take it forward? The violent take it by force. You got to be aggressive. You got to run out into the army, into the battlefield, and say, my God's victorious.
Thank
you. Amen. Amen. Let's believe that. Let's act on it. Any questions, comments, challenges?
When I was running on Friday, there was a man in front of me walking with a cane, and the whole right side, his shoulder, his hip, his knee, his ankle, you could tell it was not functioning. Like, he was walking like this. And Holy Spirit told me to go pray for him. I'm like, really? Really? Okay. So I did. I stopped. I asked him if I could pray for him, and he said yes. I said, I'll be praying in Jesus' name if that's okay with you. And he said, okay.
Oh, good.
So I prayed for everything that he said was sore. And then afterwards, he said, Miss, can you pray one more thing for me? I said, absolutely.
Wow.
He said, can you thank God for giving me such a wonderful life? So his name is Art. He's 92. He's a believer in Christ, persevering, praising God.
Praise the Lord.
Even when he's barely walking, he's out there walking, out there praising God and asking. So all you intercessors, pray for our brother Art.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Yes, it was a beautiful moment.
I went for a walk. One moment, please.
Okay.
I went for a walk this morning and just put on my headphones to get in that space. And this song came on from Elevation Worship called Rattle.
Yes.
It's a great song.
It is a great song.
All week God's been speaking to me about healing and being the church. And so it's about the resurrection, but I just highlighted some little words here. In the first stanza it says, since when has impossible ever stopped you?
Yeah.
I love that one.
Right.
One of the verses, Pentecostal fire stirring something new. You're not going to run out of miracles anytime soon. Yes, resurrection power runs in my veins too, and I believe there's nothing, not there's another miracle in this room for you. Okay, I believe in miracles, friends.
Yeah.
I believe in the power of God. I believe in healing. This is the sound of dry bones rattling. This is the praise, make a dead man walk again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm going to live again. This is the sound of dry bones rattling. I always think of the, you know, the dry bones of Ezekiel. That's that's God's people.
Yeah.
Dead.
Right.
No power. And I wonder, we can get there so easily. We can get complacent and coasting and lose the power and just forget what all the miracle of the gospel that happened in our lives. And then this verse says, my God is able to save and deliver and heal and restore anything that he wants to. Just ask the man who was thrown on the bones of Elijah if there's anything that he can't do. Just ask the stone that was rolled at the tomb in the garden what happens when God says to move. You gotta move.
Yeah.
Right? When God says, you gotta do it. So I hope, church, you just live loud. Live loud for Jesus. Yeah. Give him the glory. And let's see what God's gonna do in our city and in our families as we live loud.
Amen.
And trust God. It's about faith. Listen, if you don't have it, get with somebody who does.
Right.
Go out with us. We're going to invite you out. I'm going to put it in the weekly email. You can come out with us and come and experience God moving. Okay? God bless you.
Amen. I'm going to pray. Okay.
Holy Spirit, we pray right now together in agreement that not a single word that has come from you today will fall to the ground in Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm.
In the name of Jesus, we tear down and uproot every giant that has come upon the church. We just bind up and uproot and tear down all complacency, all discouragement, all disappointment, and all doubt in Jesus' name. We just come against that lie and that thing that the enemy wants to speak to us, saying, did God really say? We agree as a church of Jesus Christ that we put our faith and trust in God and in his word. And we will come against all opposition that is coming against the church in Jesus' name. We just call forth to the church of Jesus Christ faith, that the church will rise up in faith, in passion, in courage, in boldness, in perseverance, in power. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have given us authority, and by your Holy Spirit, you have given us power. And we just receive your word, your prophetic word that was declared over the church by the Lord Jesus Christ. You will be my witnesses in Guelph, in Kitchener, in Rockwood, and wherever that God has will send us. And so, church, now go in the powerful name of Jesus, knowing that he is with us, working with us, and will confirm his word with signs and wonders in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Yeah.